Welcome to Only Stupid Answers. We're going to bring up the volume in 3, 2, 1.
Hello!
Hey! You bastards, we got you. Sorry, didn't mean to curse.
Yeah.
But welcome to another episode of the Best Damn Podcast. You can put your sweaty little ears into. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, that's not an insult. Our ears get sweaty sometimes.
Yeah.
Let us just fill sweat that together. Sweat with more sweat. Our sweat. Let's mix our sweats in our ears.
That's how babies
with
are
a
made.
Podcast. Let's make a little ear baby. Your little ear babies. That might be a better name than
ear baby.
Than
yeah.
Moist little ears, because moist little ears sometimes ear doesn't babies. Like come out. Ear babies. You guys want to be ear babies? Let us know in the comments yeah. or on Twitter. But guys, welcome back. Or if you're joining us for the first time, thank you so much for joining us. This podcast is where we talk about movies,
yes.
TV shows,
yes.
comic books sometimes. Yes.
The mystical, the unknown.
The unknown. And sometimes we just bring on friends.
Yeah.
And that's fun too, because we get to fuck around. And today we're going to be talking about a bunch of fun stuff. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, let's do a little intros. Over to my left,
yeah.
is Mr. DJ Wooldridge.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm DJ Wooldridge. I co-host the popular Only Stupid Answers podcast with Sam Basher, who is sitting to my right, your left.
There you go. Yeah, just to get orientations
yes.
right.
Yes.
That's how this is working today. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about a few different things, mainly
yes.
Jessica Jones Season 2. We've watched it. We'll do some spoiler-free and spoiler filled discussions on it, but also we had a nice little invite from WB
yeah.
and Warner Brothers, if you didn't know the slang around Hollywood, to go see Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
We want to talk about Tomb Raider because now it's out and you guys may have seen it, may have not. Maybe you're on the fence and you want to know.
Yeah, we did a spoiler-free review of Tomb Raider on our YouTube channel,
youtube.com/onlystupidanswers.
And if you want to know more about this podcast, the bonus content we do on Patreon, our YouTube channel, all that, our dope shirts that we have, you can go to onlystupidanswers.com. That has links to all our social media, all of that amazing stuff. If you want to be more involved in our community, we highly recommend you go there.
There's also a newsletter that you can put your email into that there's going to be a special announcement coming out next week. So keep your peepers peeled for that. Also, we've got, did you say Patreon?
Yes.
There's a show on Patreon called Super TV Showdown. If you like superhero talks, go ahead and tune in every Friday.
Yeah, we talk about all the superhero shows on that, and that is exclusive to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. But speaking of Patreon, we also, these podcast episodes are every place that you can think of to listen to podcasts. But we also post them on Patreon, and that is a place where you can leave comments about the episodes. And we've got a couple here from our last episode where we talked about Wrinkle in Time.
We had to think about it for a second. It feels like a goddamn month ago.
Yeah,
it
was... it's a lot has happened in the past week.
Yeah.
We've got a comment here from Vamp Fairy.
There you go.
I really, really want to see this film as soon as I can. I have a sneaking suspicion it'll be the latest in a growing trend of movies everyone else is seemingly lukewarm on. Or worse, The Last Jedi,
ouch.
LOL. But that I inexplicably adore.
Yay.
I've concluded I'm just old and out of touch now, laughing my ass off.
Hey, that's a good place to be. You're old and out of touch, as long as you're not being offensive.
He's probably like 18.
Is he just pushing 19?
Yeah.
What an old soul. We also have another one here from Catherine Richardson, who's a big participant in the Patreon community. I always see your name pop up during our live stream, so good to see you writing comments. When I watched Wrinkle in Time, I felt like it was trying to move along really quickly, but not much was actually happening, so I wasn't that big a fan of it. But I am a fan of your reviews. Keep up the awesome work, boys.
Thanks,
that's a B-O-I-S. Add an E there, and that's Boise, and that's the capital. We're the capital of this podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Fucking tried with that one. Barely made it. But also, guys, we're trying out a new segment. We talked about it last week. It's at the end of the podcast. It's called Just the Tips.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Tips. Yes, there is an innuendo there.
Yeah.
Good on you for asking yourself for a second. You're like, is that what it is? You nailed it. You figured it out. But make sure you tune in there, because there's going to be a hot, fresh tip.
I forgot.
Poor wording from my part. Sorry.
I forgot that we're going to do that. I'm going to have to come up with a tip by the end of the episode.
Hey, me too. Live people in Patreon, you better help out. Better pull your weight real quick. You better send us some tips, and we'll give you a nice plug.
So, as Sam said, we are talking about Jessica Jones and Tomb Raider. And because of that, we're going to switch up our format a little bit. Normally, we talk about what we're into this week, and then we do the main topic. But I think we're going to flip it around. And so, we're probably going to... down to just jump into Jessica Jones?
Let's do it.
We'll do spoiler-free and then spoiler.
Yep.
And then we'll do Tomb Raider spoiler-free then spoiler.
There you go.
So I guess if you haven't seen all of them, you're going to have to...
We'll just start screaming when spoilers start happening. Yeah. And I'll scream over it, and then you'll just have to listen for the spoiler that's happening.
Yes.
What a great fucking...
What a great premise. Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about Jessica Jones Season 2. It premiered not... last week?
Yeah.
Did we fucking make it through the whole... Oh, everything's moving so fast. Yeah. Time's never slowing down.
So this is
we're
coming
out. Just dust in the wind.
Yeah, this is coming out the second Monday after the premiere.
Yes. Our podcast is.
Yes.
Yes.
This episode that people are listening to, unless you're listening to live on Patreon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So,
I've confused myself. So anyway, mm-hmm. So this season, just overall general thoughts, was fine. I actually think it's comparable with a majority of the... Marvel Netflix shows in that a lot of elements are really good, and then there's some elements that are actually really bad, and so it comes out just decent. However, it feels like it feels a lot worse because season one of Jessica Jones is still my favorite of these shows, and I think the best example of these shows.
What is wrong with Netflix with writing just awful character, just one usually, but someone who's just unbearable? Like, what is
that?
Well,
hold on. We'll get into that.
I'm not going to say who it is, but like, it happened in Jessica Jones season one, and there is some character that there's a character in this season that like makes some just big question mark decisions. Just like, what's happening? It's just you needed this to work for your story to like basically button it up, but you're like, I felt like character suicide.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great way to describe it. It is interesting because like, they had, this feels kind of like a sophomore slump. It feels like, you know, Melissa Rosenberg, who's the showrunner of Jessica Jones, was trying to make a Jessica Jones show before the Netflix deal was a
way
thing.
Way back when,
So I feel like that season, that story was something she has been wanting to tell for a while, and you can feel it.
Mm.
And so normally, like, when the second season comes out, you have less time to make it, and so it kind of like, there's diminished returns because... You know, you had to crank it out in a year, except they didn't have to crank this out in a year. They had like 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it's weird that sloppy, especially how tight Jessica Jones season one was.
Yeah.
The kind of the sloppiness, because it's not just, there is a character that is questionably written by the end. But just there's a lot of like, a lot of the plot points and character beats in the first six episodes don't really matter to anything.
Well,
after that,
well, like, okay, so for me, I
like Griffin, like, would it,
I he does him.
He, I liked him too, but he barely exists after episode six.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. But okay, so right off the bat we said something negative, and I want to say that I think I enjoyed this season more than you until something happens. We'll get to that in spoilers. I think I was really digging it. It goes in, you said sophomore slump, but it also, building off of that, like a lot of sequels where you kind of try to scale down a little bit and you just focus on the characters and their relationships, that's what it feels like this season's doing. And so it's acting more like a movie rather than a TV show.
Yeah.
Which is fine and bad. Like there's positives and negatives to that. But I did like a lot of the things they explored in this. There's basically Jessica Jones' only story in the comics that's worth anyone's time really reading. No offense to Brian Michael Bendis or the character, but her best stuff is the Purple Man story, and we did that already. So moving on from there, it's an open field. You can kind of do whatever you want. And for the most part, what they did with this was very good. I think
the new antagonist was comparable to Purple Man. It's hard to beat David Tennant and his stuff, but I think it's at least, I think it's a good follow-up.
In the sense that it really challenged Jessica in a way that was compelling, and the actress they got for that character nailed it.
Mm. Also, for the Kristen Ritter, I think nails the whole season. She's the MVP of she's
better in this season.
This is her third time portraying the character. I think she's crazy. Gotten better each time. Mm-hmm. Like she's just so good with like so many different aspects of Jessica as a person, and I really do feel her as a human being. Like I feel like I could know Jessica. I think overall the acting is top tier. Like people are given questionable stuff, some more than others. I think all the actors nail it. I said Kristen Rosa MVP right up there with her. Carrie Ann Moss kills it this season.
She does. She makes Jerry Hogarth watchable and compelling, because if it wasn't her,
yeah,
I might not watch that character. She,
yeah, you might like fast forward through those parts.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes they're like, oh no, this person's like the devil. It's no. Like, no, she's a monster. She's a monster. Yeah, like,
which is weird considering some of the stuff that they give. I'm just gonna say they give Trisha's character some stuff that it's like might have been less damaging if maybe you gave it to Jerry.
Yeah, weirdly, yeah. And also, but positive for a character, Malcolm gets fleshed out a lot.
Yeah.
And for the better, I think.
Agreed.
He grows a lot. He has ups and downs in this season, but he's compelling. He's a good actor, this yes. guy. And I'm excited to see where he goes from here. He does have a similar ending to another sidekick character yeah. in another season two
the
of the show.
The arc is very similar.
Who does, and that character pops up in this show.
Yeah, which was fun.
Yeah.
I do wish there was a little bit more. A little bit more integration, especially since, according to Kristen Ritter, we may not be getting a Defenders 2. Like,
it was a random thing she said in an interview, right? I'll pull it up really quick because I never saw that, but I'm not surprised by her saying that.
Yeah, and it might just be it might be that she doesn't know. It might be like a feint. Excuse me. I would have liked to have seen more. Like, maybe have Luke Cage pop back up. You know what I mean? Like, maybe have... Especially since I think an issue with all of these shows is it's 13 episodes. Not only is it 13 episodes, I saw somebody point this out with this season. It's not only 13 episodes, it's 55 minutes to a solid hour each episode. Whereas that's like... I don't even think Game of Thrones normally runs that... It started to, but like at the beginning, it's like, hey, you get a 45, 50 minute... You know what I mean? Like... Do yourself some favors, like help yourself, because clearly you don't have enough story to fill this time. You know what I mean? Like, and I also think something Jessica Jones in particular would benefit from is like a, it's not this because Netflix drops all the shows at once, but like a case of the week, like have two or three episodes where she's just a superpowered PI and she's just it's solving a case.
It doesn't all have to connect back to the main story. It could just be...
Because it wears thin.
Yeah. You can just let the story happen. It's like... And there's nothing wrong with that. And also, she's such a great character to watch. Like, you only get, like... I think the only time you really get, like, a case that's separate from everything else is the opening scene for her.
Yeah. And it sucks because the actual...
Of the whole season, by the way. I'm not talking one episode. The first thing you watch in the show in the season is the only thing separate from everything else.
And I think what's something that's really engaging about the character is the idea of her being a superpowered PI. And I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. It's a very cool trope that happens a lot in superhero stuff is the PI. But hers is so... She's so damaged, but also she's got a heart. And and also you get to see a lot of that with Oscar, the introduction of Oscar's character and his kid, and her interactions with his kid Vigo, I think Vito. I was thinking Vigo Mortensen Vito, and the way they play off of each other, and she's not being an asshole. Like, she has to be like, you know, she has to censor herself. She has to like really like try.
Yeah.
And that's great. And it was really cool to see that, like, the character explored there, which doesn't really never happens in the comics, which is really cool. But also, I do want to say, speaking of comics, there was a lot of elements. While one of them I found silly, I appreciated how they incorporated a lot of other random characters from Marvel that would never be in anything and incorporated them into the season and tied it back to who she is. Also, this whole basic season, like the origin of what her powers came from and everything like that, that doesn't exist. That doesn't. Yeah. It's a total original creation, which is pretty interesting and good. And I think it was well executed for the most part, how they talked about it. Yeah.
Do you want to give an overall rating and then we'll dive into spoilers a little bit?
I'm trying to think if there was anything. I'm trying to go through the characters. If we got, I will say, Punisher had some emotional beats that got me. So they kind of revisited the same, his family dying over and over again.
What are you talking about?
What? We rewatched part of Iron Fist this weekend. Boy, oh boy, do they say his parents' death like 90 fucking times.
In the first three episodes.
Oh, Jesus, it's so rough to watch. But anyways, I did want to say the emotional beats in this... Or some of the stronger, most well executed and subtle but powerful moments in these Netflix shows. I don't think there's actually, even in season one, when you have to, like, you feel the hopelessness. Like, do you remember when, like, Kilgrave got out? Like, when he's in the cell and he gets out and you're like, oh, it's like, oh, it's like a virus just got, like, dropped in a lab and no one's wearing masks. Like, this is how scary it is. But grabbing that kind of, they hit those emotional highs. In this, I teared up a few times, at least twice, I think, in this at least near the tail end of this season. And I think the show should be praised for that.
There was at least one scene in the finale I straight up cried.
And it wasn't like a puppy getting shot. It was just like, it was things that matter between two characters and then coming full circle. And you're like, fuck, this, they got us. Like, this is really good. And the show did a great job with that. Let's get into some spoilers. I will say, searching a number.
13, because it's 13 episodes?
We've done that before, though.
Why have we probably done it all before?
Come on, they got to say a random number in there.
I feel like, is there a random number associated with IGH?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. We'll do 13. Can't think of anything. Oh, shout out to Scroty Sense. That was a funny joke that Griffin said. He fell on his balls. He was a very funny actor. Yeah. And I'm bummed he won't come back. As Griffin, everyone's favorite fucking thing. Yeah, it's Griffin. Whatever the fuck. 13. I think I enjoyed it more than you. I did like the first half of the season, which I get what you mean.
Oh, no, I liked it. It just, nothing in it mattered. It appears.
I will say 13... 10. 10 out of 13. 10.5 maybe out of 13.
Which is a...
B.
A B?
B, right at a B. Even B.
I'll give it a B minus.
Okay.
Which is...
I did a 10 9? Or 10.5. Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You'll let us know in the comments.
But now, spoiler time.
Well, no, hold on. Wait. Before we jump into spoilers for Jessica Jones.
You want to say hi to a friend?
Yeah, let's talk about our pals at Simple Context real quick.
Really quick, guys, we want to talk about our friends over at Simple Context because they make my life easier and they can make your life easier too. Simple Context is a convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brands of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care simplified. I'm serious. This is so easy to use. When they reached out at first, they're like, there's just a couple steps you need to do on your phone or on your computer. And I was like, hold on a second. And then I did it and I got more contacts and they're the exact prescription I need. It made my life a lot easier. If you need to renew your prescription, just take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or your computer. Like I said, it's reviewed by a licensed doctor. That's important. And you'll receive a renewed 1-year prescription and reorder your contacts right from Simple Contacts. No more doctor's offices or waiting rooms. No, that's the worst.
No,
you gotta sit there with all those coughing people. Even though it's an eye doctor place, they're still sick.
They're coughing
in there,
right on your eyes,
right on my contacts, and looking at me as I put them in because they want to see me do that. But don't worry, it's fast. The vision test is self-guided and it takes just about 5 minutes. That's how fast. It's amazing, and it's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. Review every test carefully to make sure your eyes are healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. And they have all the brands of lenses you're familiar with, including options for astigmatism, multifocal lenses, colored contacts. Oh my goodness, I should get red eyes, cat eyes. You guys will love to hear me with cat eyes in, right? It'll be great. And also, the vision test is only $20. Compare that to an annual appointment, which without insurance could cost you over 200 smackers or dollars. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, we're offering a promotion to our listeners.
So if you want to get $30 off your contacts, go to simplecontacts.com/stupid. And enter our code STUPID at checkout. So in case you missed it, I'm going to repeat it. Tune in. Peel your
peepers or the ears back and listen to this.
Go to simplecontacts.com/stupid and enter the code STUPID.
Important to say, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but it is helpful. So check out Simple Contacts today.
Back to the show.
All right, spoiler time. Trish, let's just
hold on. I got a tweet for this.
Good call.
Catelyn Torta at C Torta. So, are we supposed to like Trish this season? We were seeing, because no matter when we do these shows, like people have already watched it. Like we could do a stream day one and people have already seen all the episodes. And everybody was like, Trish can go. Trish is awful. Trish is, and I liked Trish a lot in season one.
Yeah, she's great.
And in the beginning of the season. She's pretty. In the beginning of the season, I liked Trish a lot. And then Trish was struggling with drugs. And I'm like, this is challenging, but it's understandable with what we know about the character and what she's going through.
And because there were a lot of different characters were kind of tackling other difficult topics that the shows don't really talk about. Like, we'll get into it. Jessica's mom dealing with mental illness and like rage issues. So was Jessica. Yes. She's also dealing with that.
I heard somebody point out, I think accurately, that this season was based around a lot of female anger and female women dealing with anger.
Yeah.
I don't know if it handled that great.
but it happened. But so, yeah. But also dealing with addiction. That's a real, and they did it in a way that's like, it's upsetting because addiction is upset. Yeah, exactly.
And then, but then, because there's a moment, it almost pulls out because it's like three or four episodes before the end, and Trish is like, yeah, I've been struggling with this. I'm better now. Because the inhaler stops working. Mm-hmm. It stops working for a day, and it seems like she's coming out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank God, I actually like this interaction. This feels like adults handling this. And then, for me, I don't know about you, my jump the shark moment is when she knocks fucking Malcolm out and puts him in the trunk. I'm like, wait, what the fuck is happening right now?
I think you could have continued this story if she, and made it mean something, because people who are addicts relapse, and you could have told that story, which is what was happening.
Yeah.
But she fucking flipped and knocked Malcolm out, and that's when you started. You kind of, what was it? Jumped the shark
is a term for when it's when the show stops being the show you love. So it doesn't really apply here, but it's like you kind of jumped it with her character
for her character. Yeah. It was, if she had just like run away with the doctor instead of attacking Malcolm, it would have made more sense. And then she starts making really fucking random like comments about like, I've always wanted powers, blah blah blah. It's like, you've never you've been training for like two seasons, but you've never brought that up ever.
I got that impression. I've had that feeling with that character, so that didn't surprise me. I don't feel, to get her to have abilities, I don't feel like if we needed to throw the character under the bus. I've had a theory about...
Yeah, they did, definitely. They had a dangerous lesson with her character this season. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, when there's always a Jerry. In Parks and Rec, there's the Jerry that everybody hates. And there's an episode in that where they're like, Jerry's talking about leaving. And so they're trying to find the new Jerry. Mm-hmm. That is true. If you've worked in an office... environment, there's the one that everybody doesn't like, and then if a new person comes in, then they become the one that nobody likes, you know what I mean? And so I thought,
man, that's a bummer that works.
It is a bummer. And so last season we had Robin, who was the upstairs neighbor that was just awful, and
she's extra awful though.
She is extra awful. And so we got rid of Robin. I thought this was a universally good thing. What I didn't realize is that maybe they needed another character to fill the void of Robin, and they would take a character I love and then make them difficult to watch, which almost hurts more because I like Trish and I liked her characterization up until she started kidnapping people, and then I felt like I was being punished for wanting her to become Hellcat.
Yeah, right? They're like, oh yeah, you want this fucking... But in this world, great power comes great mental illness, so she's fucked up, right? By the way, I get the line, and I get that this was supposed to be about mental illness. I didn't think that line made 100% sense.
Also, they straight up make a great power and great responsibility reference, and in a Marvel universe, it's like, what? How is that a saying?
Yeah,
did Uncle Ben have a talk show or some shit? Like, what context are you supposed to have for that? You're not hanging out with Spider-Man.
And they but even with like Trish's like fuck ups and everything like that. Oh, I didn't need to mention that. I didn't think that her payoff with actually getting powers was earned in any way. Like, I mean, we'll get a redemption arc probably if this show got a third season.
But again, it'll be very difficult to have a redemption arc because, as Jessica points out, like, so I don't know why you're listening to this if you haven't watched the end of the show. It all leads up to Trisha killing Jessica's mom, which I don't, even though Jessica's mom was not a great person.
But you brought, actually, when we were talking about this, you brought up a lot of reasons of why this, it would have had to have been Trish.
Because she probably would have killed anybody else except Jessica. Maybe Malcolm,
maybe.
And in fact, I kind of wish it, what with where we leave Malcolm, I think it would have made more sense for maybe Malcolm to be the one to pull the trigger, or Jerry. I don't know how we would have gotten Jerry there, but then again, I don't really know how we got Jerry where she was in this. Like, why did she have a homeless person living with her? Like, why would she allow that?
Yeah, as a favor, I guess. And then
she doesn't like Jessica.
She does, though. She does she does like Jessica.
She doesn't like anybody.
That's not fair to say about... Yeah.
The only thing that really worked for me about Jerry's arc is Carrie Ann Moss killing... Like, when she comes home and she's been robbed, wrecked me.
Also, when she got healed... There's air quotes there. Yeah. Listen to this. Air quote. When she got healed, you also kind of felt it a little bit.
Yeah.
And also that reveal was like, no, we didn't have a healer. We didn't... Like, it was like, wait, who's lying? Wait, no. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
Did you want to bring up the doctor?
Malice.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting to not make him Jessica's very quick to call out men around
her. Wow, and she called him out, calling him the worst, like almost worse than Kilgrave, the way she talked about
him. Yeah, and it's interesting because the women in the show are just as can be just as manipulative. Definitely in the case of her mom, be just as dangerous. And it's not that Malice isn't bad or isn't manipulative, but I like that he's not like. He's just a guy. Like he's a normal type of bad that he just made bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Like no, you should not experiment on people without their thing.
Consent,
but he was trying to save people's lives, and he was successful at that.
Mm-hmm. And he only kept the mom there, even though the mom left.
Yeah,
he only kept her there because he literally didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah, and the power dynamic is really interesting because he technically created her and theoretically had power over her, but she could literally rip him in half.
Yeah.
So there's a really interesting interplay, and I liked that actor. I liked the way he played that character as kind of like a hippie.
Yeah.
But transitioning off that, you called it that you thought it was the mom the second we met the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But we get a flashback episode kind of explaining her, which was good. But then we get an episode where Jessica and her are kind of like trapped together. And I was sold. Their dynamic is great. That actress is great.
I'm guessing that's what they wanted when Foggy and Matt were like locked together and Foggy figures out that he's Daredevil. And that was one of the worst episodes. Because you want a little bottle episode where you can just like let the characters like you explore and you get to know them more. But it was great because she's like furious and the mom is like breaking down every like little
childhood memory she has.
Fuck, and that's awful too. Yeah. And it's like, no, your father's awful. We were in counseling, like, and he was like, he always had the drive, and like, she was so angry at him.
The fact that she blames the dad for them says so much about her, her perspective. It explains a lot about Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see, like, that was some of the smartest writing this season. I think there's a batch of episodes between. There, like, there's like three or four episodes after the reveal that are basically almost perfect for this season.
Because you're getting Trish hasn't gone like full crazy yet.
No,
she's doing she's like the vigilante struggling. Stuff, yeah. And you get it.
Yeah.
You get enough. You even see her like profile that guy on the bus, and you think it's just because he has like tattoos and he's like kind of like staring at people. He's like, no, he just has a book.
Yeah,
yeah. That's it. He was just reading, and she attacks one dude. She has a lot of questionable stuff. I did have a segue there. Wait. Mom. Oh, the emotional beats. I didn't want to bring those up. It's when they save the family and it coming full circle. Like, even as soon as you saw the family like having a great time in the car, you're like, they're going to die.
I've watched superhero shows before.
Especially Netflix Marvel shows. They're going to get real hurt. But also, I thought there was a baby in there that the baby died. But it's like, no. The whole family got out, even the driver of the other car.
Yeah.
And you brought up that it was really cool to show, because we've seen the car accident scene a million times, but like showing like the bottles, like spraying fire and gas everywhere. And you're Jesus Christ, this is awful.
Like, it's like their oxygen tanks, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this show, when it's firing on all cylinders, does really well. Instead of just doing the generic, like, car wreck and one of them will explode, like, every once in a while, one of those oxygen tanks will, like, spin out and blow up. And so you get the sense, it's not just exploding for no reason. You get a sense of why this is happening. It's the little details. And when the show works, it's because of those little details.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, it does fall into a trope that every single Marvel Netflix show has fallen into.
Which is?
Killing a black cop. Or killing an influential older black person.
Yes.
And in this, I was like, oh, we're almost through it. We're not going to do it. Mom falls out a window with the only black cop we meet, I think. Yep. Or at least
and
has screen
I'm
time.
I'm not so sure how the black security guard, how she turned out. Remember the mom like throws her, the one that was nice to her after, by the way,
for me,
I think Trish knocking out Malcolm and that guard were in the same episode.
Not the nice guard, the evil
guard, which was like cartoonishly like came,
because at first he's like, yeah, you know, I had like rules, and you're like, okay, I can connect with him, and then he's like, you're not eating your protein, and he just fucking flips, and then you find out he's been like saving trophies from the people he murders,
you know, or committed suicide because of him or whatever. Like, it's just way over the top. So stuff like that this season did was not great.
Yeah. But like, you got to fill it in. I didn't like the Kilgrave episode where like, I like them. Like, I like Jessica having to like grapple with that.
I think that's a good way to keep him back. Cause I was thinking about like, could you have kept him around, especially with the IGH stuff? Like if she had maybe ripped out his throat so he couldn't speak anymore, but he was still alive.
Jesus.
And then he would pursue IGH to like fix that. But it's like, do you ever really want Kilgrave back? Like, that was such a nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, I think having him be in her mind something she has to live with and deal with for the rest of her life is good. And the realization,
it's not good, but it's a good story wise.
And the realization she comes to with him was there. Although a character that might have, if they kept around, might have benefited himself is what if they kept around Simpson and Simpson killed the mom?
I don't know if that'd been better. I mean, he would have had to have a lot of leg. He would have had to do a lot of leg work in this season to make that mean anything, you know?
Well, but it's the thing is, what would mean something is her losing her mom. Which, by the way, that was my, not her losing the mom, but the moment the mom was like, you know, maybe I don't need to be here. Maybe I just made you. I was like, tears. Ooh. And then immediately she gets shot. And it's like, no.
And then the blood's coming out of that barf hole that they have at the bottom of Ferris wheel.
Yeah, that capsules. That was very meaningful. Jessica and her mom, I think, was the main focal point for me emotionally. And again, anything with Carrie-Anne Moss on her performance was great. As a fanboy, I did like, because nobody was begging for an adaptation of Wizard. Nobody wanted somebody, a character like Wizard in anything. His name is stupid and silly. This is the exact perfect way to use that character and in the grounded MCU.
And include the mongoose, because I like the tube city thing he had in his apartment. And guys, Wizard in the comics got his power by getting an injection of mongoose blood.
Because
that is the laziest I've ever heard.
Well, Wizard's supposed to be anti-Flash, and he's part of the Squadron Supreme.
They changed him to that, but originally that's how he got his powers. That's how he got it, back in the 40s. But I did want to read in the comments, Terry Fournier, J.R. Ramirez, who played Oscar, also played Ted Wildcat Grant on Arrow Season 3.
Yep.
But also, he was great, and I like the inclusion of David Mack. Art?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, he did the art of all the Alias covers, and that was the when they showed the finished painting, that's the same artist that they would do the Alias comics, the Jessica Jones comics, and it's very, very good.
Yeah, I like Oscar, and he's very dreamy, but he's no Luke Cage. Just
no one is.
Eddie Chase at Parappa Playwright. That's good. That's fun. When season one was done, I didn't know if we could follow up a villain as compelling and terrifying as Kilgrave, but this villain came pretty close. What does season three need to keep up the same intensity as the first two?
Man, I don't know if we're getting a season three. They're pumping out like every Marvel Netflix show.
I don't know if I need a season three now.
Well, I mean, you got Hellcat.
Yeah, but now they made me feel bad about that.
You should feel bad about it. Give it Luke Cage and Jessica Jones trying to make it work.
Yeah, I like that. What would be a good antagonist
for Jessica?
Yeah, it's hard to
do street level
between Kilgrave and the mom. You can't get more personal unless they make Hellcat the villain. That'd be awful.
Yeah. I think organized crime would be interesting. I know that literally all the other ones do that, and that's what's different about Jessica Jones. But there could be. I just want more PI stuff.
Agreed. Maybe a threat that's not personal.
Hey,
maybe
I didn't know where they're gonna go with this season at all.
Yeah.
And it's not buttoned up at the end. I mean, like, it's her kind of happy with random new original characters they made for the show.
Yeah.
I want her with Luke Cage.
I don't necessarily know if I need more IGH, but it's funny that we had 13 episodes and I still don't really understand how that whole thing worked.
What I got from it, and if you guys have these same questions, what I got from it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that a scientist approached the U.S. government, was like, I can do these things, like bring people back or run experiments, whatever the fuck, you know, generic bad guy stuff. And that's how they were able to run these experiments. But then Kozlov, the dead guy from, like, the dead general, but we met him last season.
Yeah.
He started to switch it up and give it to soldiers to, like, amp them up and make nuke.
Yeah.
That's how they got funding, and that's how they ran, and they did it out of the, was it industrial garment and handling building?
But isn't it kind of lame that you have to explain that to me? Like, what you're saying makes sense.
That's what I got when I was watching. Yeah. I mean, in case you didn't get it, but, like, yes, it is. I just thought it was fun. I didn't see the name of the industrial garment handling thing in the first episode when they actually show it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it until it blew up, and I was like, oh, fun reveal for whatever that was. Like, it's just the name of where they were doing all these experiments.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would be a good... it kind of made me wish there was a version of these shows that was almost more like Game of Thrones, that it was the one 13-episode season, and we stop in on each of these characters' individual stories, and then maybe at the end of time... But, like, so you get, like, 3 Luke Cage episodes, 3 Jessica Jones episodes. You know what I mean?
Take,
like,
all the budgets of all those shows, put it together, and you get these.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, just because... Again, I don't think these shows have enough to carry their own 13-episode seasons.
But also, when they were together, they could barely do 8.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't... make it all tie. It's not all like the Defender show. It's all their own shows, except significantly shorter.
Hey, that's, let's pitch it.
Yeah.
Wait, I did want to bring up really quick. There was one thing in my head. Frick. I wanted to say, we'll come back to it.
Iqbalias Hassan, what other characters such as the Wizard would you like to see in future Marvel TV shows? I would love to see some spider characters like Kane or Jessica Drew, or maybe a young black cat.
Kane might be a stretch.
I don't know if her rights are tied. I feel like her rights shouldn't be tied up with Spider-Man. Anybody tied up with Spider-Man would probably be challenging, although would love it, on board, would love to see it.
Jessica Drew would be fun. Did you know Jessica Drew's British in the comics? It was like,
what?
It was something that I was reading that, like, because people are like, yeah, Blade is technically British because he was from England, and that's where he got, like, that's where he grew up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. No. But, like, we just know Wesley Snipes, Blade, where he's got an American accent.
My first exposure to Jessica Drew is they did a cartoon TV pilot that they did not go anywhere, but they sold as a VHS that I own.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You think it just, you go default to American.
Yeah.
But technically, in the comics, she's supposed to be British, which is kind of fun. Just a fun little random fact that I saw pop up. It was like, these two characters, you never think about what their accents are, but with Professor X, even though technically he's supposed to be American, but we have a British actor playing him. Yeah.
That was a fun experience as a kid, buying the Spider-Woman VHS and being like, cool, like Spider-Man but a girl, and then she's flying and she's shooting lasers out of her fingers, and you're like, wait, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, they had to do a stretch with that character.
But Jessica Drew would be cool. That we see a bunch of cool characters in the Defenders comic that would, like, the new White Tiger. Although I'm a big fan of, there was a version of White Tiger introduced in Christopher Priest's run that I think his name is Casper Cole. Mm. I think he'd be, he just looks cool as fuck. He's like Black Panther, except his costume's white and he has a black trench coat. He looks so fucking cool.
Isn't White Tiger usually a girl, though, or is it the more recent?
Oh,
okay.
That's the more recent one.
And that name for the female White Tiger guy
was name dropped
in
as well.
Season one of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, season one of Jessica Jones. And then, you know, maybe Echo. I'm not.
Echo should be a Daredevil, though.
Yeah.
She usually pops up in Daredevil. So I like Echo a lot. I think her powers could be really cool.
I wonder
cool.
with the way that they do these seasons where it's like the one villain the whole season, if maybe you could do somebody else's, like I think Daredevil has a villain called Mr. Fear or something. Maybe that could become a Jessica Jones.
She's been traumatized a lot. Let's do a little more. Mr. Fear, great. Let's do it. We also have a tweet right here from Reed at JMR1022. Who would win in a singing contest, Britney Spears or Trish Walker? Britney Spears, you crazy? Trish Walker's songs are garbage and you know it. What was it? I want you cray, cray cray. Oh man, you ever shoehorned in just a pop song, you're like, what would they say? But I did love her Hannah Montana type costume she did at a party to like get info. That was really cool.
That sequence depressed me because that song sounded just about as good to me as a lot of pop songs on the radio. Makes me bummed out about pop music.
Hater on Chainsmokers. They're great. They're changing our generation. But hey, let's rate it. We did. We're not gonna do that. Forgot it. But yeah, we also want to talk about Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
But before we do that, let's talk about our friends over at Dollar Shave Club.
Sam.
Mm-hmm.
When I say Dollar Shave Club, what do you think of?
Mm-hmm. Razors. Great razors that give me a clean shave.
Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors, Sam.
No, what?
And Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in a store.
100%.
Dollar Shave Club delivers you everything you need to look, smell, and feel your best. Shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, and of course, the best razors we've ever used.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can get an amazing, high-quality shave every morning with your Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor. But the true hero of any morning routine is their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. It helps the razor gently glide across your skin. You have to experience
it. It's pretty great. And it comes on clear, so then you can see exactly what, like, you get a clean finish.
You need that.
Don't go in blind. What are you, crazy?
Another must-have experience is how Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you. That means no more trips to the store, wandering the aisles, hunting for razors, shampoo, toothpaste, then having to play out being a cashier, scanning and bagging your own stuff. Nobody wants that.
What are we, animals? What do you expect from us?
Technically, we are animals.
Maybe. But yes, Dollar Shave Club is, they have incredible offers, and you do not want to miss out on them. For a mind-blowing experience, join Dollar Shave Club today, and for just $5, with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor, plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, and one wipe Charlie's. Ooh. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/stupid. That's dollarshaveclub.com/stupid. For fun, let's say it one more time. dollarshaveclub.com/stupid.
Now back to the show.
Doom Raider.
Remember this movie that came out earlier this week?
Nope. We did a review on our YouTube channel, and you could see my thoughts on it. And
yeah,
I like
spoiler free.
Spoiler free.
We're gonna do a little bit more spoiler free because I want to talk too.
Yeah, but I think we're pretty much on the same page that
yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
This feels like the exact type of movie that people will hate on for the rest of the year and talk about it as if it's the worst movie that ever came out ever. But it's fine.
I don't know because it's not getting that kind of. It's getting the same kind of reaction as us. It's fine. Like, but fine is also not good. At least when, like, I mean, this isn't great, but when it's bad, people keep talking about it.
True.
But when it's fine, does that sell you more tickets, you know? Does that, like...
No, it's in, yeah.
It's so, not boring.
But you know what
but
is
so
great.
Bland.
You know what is great?
Action?
It's Felicia Vikander. Alicia Vikander. Mm-hmm. I don't think you do this movie if you don't have the right... Lara Croft, and I think she is great as this new version of Lara Croft that they're doing, which I think is great. I think that the new direction they're taking the character is absolutely what they needed to do with the character, mm-hmm. and I think Alicia Vikander, which is kind of a bummer that it is just being kind of just lukewarm received, because I'd like to see where maybe this could go. And I also love the idea of, like, I think Lara Croft will be the perfect opportunity to do a Lady James Bond, and I would love to have that be a thing. And it bums me out that I don't think this is going to get the reception to have that just be a thing. Wouldn't that be cool?
Would be cool.
Like, if a chick James Bond? That'd be rad.
Yeah. It would have been cool.
Yeah.
And also, Red Sparrow was that stab at that.
But that was a lot... That
it was darker.
That, a lot darker and a lot more challenging, it seems like, from audiences.
Probably. I don't think any... I don't know anyone who saw that movie.
Yeah.
but didn't.
No, we didn't. But yeah, she is great. I love Walton Goggins always and forever in everything. And the action is not... I would say it's overcut. It definitely, like, oh, we need to use all 15 takes we got of this.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe don't.
Yeah. In the beginning, it's the most noticeable.
Yeah. But, however, it was visceral for me. Like, oh, shit, is the main character of this movie gonna get crushed by that giant CG rock? Nope. I feel myself tensing up, even though, of course not. You know what I mean?
And but so, that's good. That's good direction.
Exactly. So that staging was really good. And there's a lot of, I guess maybe this will get more spoilers. I would cut off what I think amounts to the first 30 to 40 minutes of this movie.
Just go straight. And, like, basically it opens with, and this it's not spoilers, but it opens with you getting an origin of who what Lara is doing prior to her adventure.
Yeah, and there's fun action sequences in that.
And she's got a great rapport with the people, but it does not matter at all. It doesn't matter at all. And some parts of the movie, there's some dumb stuff, but I'm not noticing the dumb. Like, I wouldn't call it dumb, but it's just like there's some dumb stuff that happens.
I think I wish they'd spent more time focusing on the adventure aspect of it, especially when they actually get to the tomb. More tomb raiding. Once they actually get to the tomb that's being raided, they make the cardinal mistake of, like, you at least need to give us the clues to the puzzle before we get there, so we know what characters are doing. Not that we are going to figure it out, but so that we know what a character is trying to accomplish, because especially they get to a door, there are these wheels, and she's like, I've got it. And she starts spinning wheels, and I found myself being like, I don't know what these wheels are supposed to represent.
To be fair, she did a puzzle earlier, but we didn't understand why she solved
that
puzzle.
No, it was part of a montage.
Yeah, we didn't get why that was important and what hinted to, besides it looking similar, what made her think that this is going to work the same way.
Yeah.
Because it's totally different also, the way the puzzle works. So, and it fell apart like a video game.
And you could have connected. It was like watching somebody play a video game without the cutscene explaining what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. You're just seeing them do it. And you're like, oh, okay.
Bummer.
Yeah.
There were good performances. But the main thing in this movie that I took away as enjoying, because I don't really remember what the fucking story was, I'm going to be honest. Like, if I sit down and think about it, I remember.
Yeah,
but
there was
the next day,
Japanese
I was like,
princess, which actually found out, apparently, that legend is true.
Well, good on them.
Yeah, because I assumed, like, man, you can't just make up this shit. Because that's part of what made... That's what made Indiana Jones so great, is that it was based off actual legends in our world. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, no, that's real. It's like, oh, shit, good
that's
job.
That's very cool, yeah. It was... and it got silly near the end, but it was I did enjoy all the action. Walton Goggins versus Alicia Vikander was cool. I don't remember, besides Lara, I didn't remember anyone's character's name except for Lu Ren.
Yeah.
Lu Yen? Yeah, that
he... And that actor is on Into the Borderlands, which is an AMC show.
Oh, is he the star?
I don't... He's Daniel Wu, right? I don't know if he's...
Well, then check real quick. But that's why he looked familiar, because I haven't watched Into the Borderlands, that AMC crazy sci-fi fantasy Emmy.
And he's
AMC
good,
show.
I thought it was cool that they gave, like... what a weird way to say it, that they gave an Asian actor a chance to be, like... a kick-ass guy in this, like, oh, that they gave him... No, it was just cool that they... It wasn't just another fucking white dude, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Mr. Terry Fournier in the comments said, the only bummer in Tomb Raider was the script, but everyone on screen and behind did great with what they were given. I think I agree with that as well. I think Alicia Vikander really acted her heart out, and she really committed to the action. Like, there's this, like, scene where it's just, like, bad thing happening, her just getting the shit kicked out of her.
He is the main guy in Into the Borderlands. I just, for some reason, I thought of that character as older, and it's because this actor is older. It's just he looks
babyface
so good. He looks real good. Yeah.
But she commits to all the action, and I did love the sneak around scene. Are we getting the spoilers now? Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah. Let's
I'm not giving too many spoilers to what's happening in the movie. But...
Like again, we did a spoiler free review on YouTube.com/onlystupidanswers. What rating did you give it? Dad was gone 7 years. I think you gave it a 4.9 or a 5.
Yeah, I think I gave it like a B-C+, something like that. Because
I think I'm going to do maybe a solid C. I'm going to go with a solid C.
But it's a good C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
C's not bad. I think that's most big budget studio films are fine.
Are fine.
It's hard with that many cooks in the kitchen for it to be amazing, but also for it to be bad. It's fine.
I think it's my favorite video game movie. I mean, but for being an actual movie, not for being a joke, like, because Super Mario Brothers is great. Like, it's a great movie.
I do enjoy that movie.
But I like it in spite of it being Super Mario Brothers.
And Mortal Kombat 1.
I've never seen it.
Is
I don't want to.
It's a lot of fun.
And, like, I did enjoy the other two Tomb Raiders, but they are way different. And they're playing into the other Tomb Raider world.
Dude, when
like,
we were looking, when we were working on your review, I saw the trailer for the first
original
one. I'm like, this looks like a lot of fun.
You should watch
She's doing like crazy ass flips and pole vaults and shit. And I'm like, oh,
there's
man.
Robots. And it's real magic in that. That's like, that's magic. Like instead of, well, we'll get into spoilers for what this is, but let's move into it.
Let's go into spoilers.
Do you want to rate it?
On your magical tier of 7, because it was 7 out of 7 years that dad was dead. What is that like? You said 5. I guess that's a 4.5.
Something like that.
4, maybe.
Well, yeah. We fuck ourselves over with this fake rating thing. Too bad. We're going to keep doing it. But yeah, spoilers. We think it's a magic thing because that's how Tomb Raider and Uncharted and all of these all of these treasure hunting movies go. You like think it's a magic artifact.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. In this, it was a disease.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Although the guy that gets infected does pop back up as if he's being resurrected, which is weird.
Kind of zombie-ish.
Which, by the way, that's... I'm going to be honest. It was one of my, I guess, mild spoilers for Uncharted. It's one of my least favorite bits in Uncharted.
One, right?
That's yeah, a, it's just yeah. that it's not, that it's fun as hell. It's just that, like, zombies, like, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they kind of repeat it in Uncharted 2, but whatever.
Yeah, different purple ones. Yeah.
But I'm glad that it wasn't a magical thing, although I did think all the stuff with Trinity was fucking silly as fuck. Like, it's an ancient organization that's going after magic, even though there's no magic in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just have it be, like, a fucking, what's that one mercenary group, like Blackwater, Stillwater or whatever? Like, it's the thing, mercenary groups exist.
Yeah.
Corporations that are trying, a corporation that would try and own and weaponize a virus exist. Just do that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's totally fine.
I don't need to be a cult.
There's a reveal at the end where it's like, wait, this person we saw before in the movie has ties to it the whole time? And like, they explain it like 9 different ways. And we're like, we... Got it. What does it mean? I don't fucking know. But your 9 explanations of just saying she's part of it, like, it doesn't mean
it was one of those
anything.
Like, wait, she said this, and then this thing that I saw earlier ties up to this thing, and she was a part of it, and then she, and then tied, and
this
thing,
and this, and then that's what it was like watching it. It was like, we got it. And at the end, it's great. She picks up Nick Frost was great in the movie too, and his wife, whoever it is, and that was great. But it's great. She you get the classic Lara Croft
with the braid and the two guns.
She picks it up and is like, I'll take two.
Yeah.
Whip the fucking braid along the screen and it cuts to black. Whatever the fuck happens. That's not what
it,
happens.
Well, it was weird because it's like, I think we're all on board with the new version. I don't know if we need to reference the old version. I was half expecting them to like, oh wait, no, you're going to need this new bulletproof bustier that makes your tits look five times as big as they are.
That's when we get to the classic look.
Yeah.
Fucking Square Enix, don't pander that much to horny teenage boys.
But
or girls.
Whatever you're into.
Inclusivity.
Yeah. But for me, I think the movie really clicked when she runs back to the camp and there's like a tracking shot of her going through the camp. Although it is weird
because that felt like a cinematic cut in a video game.
Yeah, it was weird that they really positioned this hard as an origin movie, except you don't really get an origin arc. It's like she's vulnerable girl until a switch flips and now she's badass Lara Croft and like taking out people with a bow and arrow and shit.
And solving every puzzle.
Yeah. And then her fight, like you said, her fight with Walton Goggins at the end was rad. Like when she's running up and she puts her like climbing axe into the ground and like jumps on the ladder to knock him off. Like that was fucking cool.
How did she get that capable?
Well, that's the thing. That's why I think just start with her on the boat. I think the game starts with her on the boat. So just start with her on the boat. So that way we assume we see her training. So we get a sense of the skills. But then it feels like we see her training in the MMA ring. We see her learning with a bow and arrow. But even then, it feels like she suddenly becomes hyper capable. If you leave that more ambiguous, then we assume that she's done the things that get her there.
One negative is that she hasn't gone to school. She hasn't gone to like a higher learning school, which is fine. Yeah. But she is so capable of solving every puzzle that we're not going to see her do on screen. We're going to see her do it off screen.
Her dad is super smart.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it just she got it from being like osmosis, business. Like near him or coming out of him.
Yeah,
like how babies come out of boys.
Yeah,
but even then it's
it comes
like
out of the peepee hole.
And they're right there, little. You ever like shot a pee out of a straw?
Yeah,
that's how it works. That's how babies work.
Pee-pee grows to the size of a cantaloupe, and then the full baby just shoots out of the. Do you guys like the visual?
We already to just the tips? I feel like we already sent the tip out. Fuck. Tip. Whatever. But no, that it was like she's so like I got the physical capabilities because they clearly showed that, and it was awesome whenever they showed her fight or survive. Awesome. Yeah. But when it came to like solving these these are supposed to be like complex. No
people
one's figured this out
for centuries.
Yes,
yeah.
Millennia. Like they haven't figured this out, and like she's doing it on a boat ride, and like in about a week she's figuring it all out, and it's like. Not totally negative, but maybe back that up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think if I would have liked to have spent more time on the island, spend more time understand with the actual tomb raiding aspect of it. Like it feels like it rushes through the stuff that like you signed up for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you get her first kill, which they start playing as a real emotional moment, which I think is really smart. And then immediately her dad shows back up, and we're off to the races for the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
which I also wasn't sure how I felt about.
Also, the dad act popping kind of dumb. Like remember when he popped up in front of like the big puzzle box machine door thing that evaporates?
Yeah.
It's fucking dumb. Also, when it became more practical at the end of the movie, it's like, no, it's not magic. Like, it could be magic. But, like, you had magic coin floor falling apart but still staying together.
Yeah, which I don't know how that worked.
How does it fix itself if you already... Like, so if one person got trapped in here...
You're done. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm shrugging if you can't tell. I'm shrugging because it's like,
No, the skeletons at the bottom of that pit wake back up, rebuild it, and
that would have been cool.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen though.
That does not happen. It's fine. It's fine. It's if you're looking for a fun. You mentioned Kong Skull Island. I found previously in this episode. I feel like Kong Skull Island was more giddily ridiculous. Like it had way much more fun and was way more ambitious with its craziness, which is why I would say I enjoyed that movie more than this one. But if you're looking for a similar, like you want a fun escapist action movie in the middle of March, fuck yeah, go see Tomb Raider.
For me, because I did not enjoy Kong Skull Island,
fine.
I'd equate it more to like a Tokyo Drift, like to
sure.
Like,
that where seems it's like, fair. That seems completely fair.
Because I don't know what happens in Tokyo Drift. I remember just at the end, spoilers. They soup up a Mustang to be able to drift. But guys, American cars and Japanese cars aren't built the same, so the weight distribution it doesn't make any fucking sense. But like, I'm like, America muscle.
What do you think if what element from this movie do you think you'd remember?
The going through the waterfall plane parachute thing.
the parachute. There's no way she'd hold on to that parachute.
Or that the parachute would make it. How old is that plane?
Yeah.
It was rotting. She barely made it.
She wasn't even strapped in. The second that chute goes, it slipped right out of her fucking hands.
But people, which I understand, but people do what she did.
Really?
That's the thing. There's this guy.
Thank God.
It would have been better if you just showed that she slipped an arm through.
Yeah, because literally it looks like she's just holding on to it like this. And it's like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy who jumps out of planes, like this old, like, 6-year-old dude, like this enormous ponytail, like Laura Croft.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He jumps out of a plane, no parachute, just in jeans and a fucking button up. And then a guy brings him a parachute and he just holds onto it on the way down.
Why would you do that?
Because he doesn't, I don't know if he can see, or maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know. But that's
wow.
It was this YouTube video I watched of like this ponytail whipping in the
air.
Well,
you know what? Prove me wrong. I think I'd remember the image of her running through which is in the trailers, her running through the woods. I think somebody described it like running through the woods like a cheetah.
Yeah.
And then fast as shit. I saw a video of like her working out. She put on like 90 pounds of muscle or some shit. 90, that's probably too much.
She could rip a fucking car door off. It's like,
no, but she's like, she is fit. Like she,
well, she would, there was a, shirtless mm-hmm. scene where she was nowhere, no boobies in this. but you saw her six pack and it was cut.
Yeah, she did her homework, which again,
swallowed eggs.
I kind of hope this does well enough that we're able to get a more ambitious sequel and maybe build out like
in space. What?
What? Why not? That's Angelina Jolie. Have Angelina Jolie play her mom. Mm-hmm. We love that stunt casting. We watch those CW shows. We eat that shit.
John Voight played the dad in the first one.
Good.
And so sorry. And John Voight's Angelina Jolie's dad. It was in that. My dad took us to go see the first Tomb Raider because like, oh, action is great. Yeah. Also, we love Angelina Jolie. He was like, oh, yeah, I loved it because it was like a real father daughter moment. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Also, side note, uh-huh. Mr. and Mrs. Smith holds up. It's a fun movie.
I don't like that movie. I'll rewatch it. I don't like it.
Edge of Tomorrow guy. That same director.
Really?
Yep.
He got better with Edge of Tomorrow.
I didn't like Mr. and Mrs. Smith when I saw it in theaters. I rewatched it. It was like, oh, no, this is a fun action movie. Like, no. It's not fucking great, but it's like, it's fun.
I'll rewatch it. Yeah. I wanted it to be really good, and it's not
good.
Yeah. Maggie Whitmer, when I mentioned Angelina Jolie, all us having crushes on her. But she said, yeah, thank you, Sam. Angelina Jolie is the original movie. The original movie was my sexual awakening, and I said the same because I had a Cradle of Life poster.
You did?
Because also, I was a kid where it's like, I don't have anything to put up on my walls. Serious? I know you're not going to believe me.
No, I know why you put that Cradle of Life poster on there.
It was in the corner, but like...
In the corner, like half of it was on one wall, half of it was on the other.
Yeah, one was on a door, one was on the like wall, so you just open and close it. But no, I just never had like decorations in my room. I had this one poster of a Nissan Z up on my wall when I was a kid. I'm like, I don't even really care about this fucking car, but it's up there. I'm not taking it down. I always had to stare at it. Sam saying boobies. They say they like when I say that. Oh, Terry Fournier says sexual awakening was Cameron Diaz in The Mask. Hey, we all get that. Hey, we should do an episode on that. Like, what was our crushes? Jessica Rabbit. Girl from Cool World.
I think, jeez. What Jessica a weird. Jessica Rabbit to the nth degree. Also,
that movie's fucked
probably
up.
Not for you. Nicole Kidman in Batman Forever.
Oh, yeah. I get that. That would be a fun fucking episode to talk about. It'd be weird,
when,
though.
It's so funny as an adult looking back at it when Riddler's like, Robin dreams of being naked with a girl. Mm. And you're like... Uh-huh. you had this poster of
no,
Tomb Raider.
She had two guns and there was like a sun behind her. It's Cradle of Life too. That movie is, oh boy, you should watch. If you want to hear a bad American accent from a good actor, you should listen to Daniel Craig in the first Tomb Raider. He's like, Laura.
I need to say this for the episode. Simon Pegg's American accent is impeccable.
He's great in
also,
Ready Player One. Sorry, we saw Ready Player One. That's
also
a different movie.
Ever K. Ross, that actor, also played The Hobbit.
Stephen Mer- nope.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
That's, that's a different actor in The Office. Mm-hmm. Sherlock.
Wow.
His American accent's great.
What
is happening right now?
What is...
We're at the end of the episode.
Who's playing him? Martin Freeman.
Jesus Christ. His American accent in Black Panther is like impeccable.
We were getting upset. What? What?
Anyway...
I think we're coming to the end of the episode. Sorry. We're out of ideas now. We're out of fuel. Sorry, guys. We're winding down. Tomb Raider, we rated it. You guys let us know what you think of Tomb Raider and Jessica Jones Season 2. Let's do some plugs. DJ.
Yeah, you can follow me every place that matters at DJ Talks Trash. I'm actually now just on the Stardust app too, so another place you can follow me
for little movie reviews, TV show reviews. Maybe I'll post some Flash ones there.
Exactly. So, and we got to see Ready Player One, so stay tuned for that episode in a couple weeks, and we'll be doing a review for that soon, so stay tuned for that. But also, please go to chaostheorycomic.com. We are getting very close to the campaign for that, and I'm being a little bit nervous because it's big and it's ambitious, and the story is big and ambitious, and I'm hoping you guys are going to like it, because there's just a lot of big and crazy things. And if you sign up for the newsletter there, not only will you get the latest newsletter, which there are some big announcements coming up soon, however, you'll be able to look at the old announcements, and some of that news is going to start coming out on my Instagram too, some of the stuff that people have known for months through that newsletter. So stay tuned for that, because that's where you're going to get the first look at perks, at tiers, at the comic itself. So please sign up there. Please get your friends to sign up there, so that they can be there on the first day of the campaign, because there's going to be some cool first day stuff.
If they miss out, they're going to feel real dumb.
Yeah. So that's me. What about you, Sam?
Or I'll just follow me at Sam Basher. I do videos over at youtube.com/newrockstars. We've been working on a couple new projects that have been pretty fun on different platforms. So keep an eye out on our social media, at Only Stupid Answers on Twitter.
Yank out the bells from stupid.
But you can find all the rest, like Instagram, Facebook, Reddit. Reddit's got a great community over there.
Yeah.
You can find that all at onlystupidanswers.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Our newsletter's going to come out next week. It's going to have some fun info that you're not going to want to miss out on. But me, at Sam Basher, everywhere that matters. But before we wrap up, I know maybe some people have already tuned out because we did our plugs. Just the tips. We had a tip here from Maggie Whitmer.
Yes.
And this is important. It's going to sound dumb. Not to Maggie, but you're going to sound like you already know this. But this is important. If you drive, use your blinker, because one of the most goddamn infuriating things is someone just weirdly swerving, then moving back, and then you make eye contact with them, and they're angry at you.
Yeah,
that's an LA thing.
Yeah, it's so bad in LA. I don't understand why people in LA are so like just drifting into the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, turn on. So I know that's to let other people around you know what you're doing, so that we don't run into each other.
Yeah, and
it's super important, and it's also crazy easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just you flip a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it unflips when you're done.
Yeah. And even if you're like, uh-oh, it's still on, you just do a little flick. Yeah. Little flick of your finger, we'll put it back. That's it.
Just good Lord.
Now we're going to get mad during Just the Tips. Hey, fucking, if you don't do that, it's easy. It's easy peasy. Also, put on your fucking seatbelt. You know what one of the most infuriating things is?
Yeah.
Is when I get in a car with someone and they're driving, and they don't put their seatbelt on until after they've already gotten going. I'm like, what are you doing? Why is it so hard for you when you're starting the car, you're getting ready to go, you haven't put on your seatbelt yet?
I don't know why people I grew up with were so anti seatbelts.
I had a friend.
Was that a thing when you were growing up, or was that kind of like, a bunch of my friends were like, no, I don't do seatbelts, I'm too cool for that.
I had one friend that did that, but it was when I was like elementary school, and we were like, their family invited me to go to the aquarium, and I got middle seat, and I was like, and there my friend was sitting next to me, and she didn't have a seatbelt on. She like was sitting on her leg. She was like reading, we were like playing a game or something. I was like, why don't you have your seatbelt on? And her parents were like totally fine with it. They were like, no, they're fine, you don't have to put a seatbelt on, what's gonna happen? I'm like,
a car accident, as a kid,
couldn't articulate what the problem was. I was like, but that's not, you're not, you have to have a seatbelt on. What are you talking about?
Because not only is that a danger to you, but it's the danger to other people in the vehicle,
because
you're just flopping around in their faces and shit. Put on your damn seatbelt.
Danny Boy said that Maggie hit a nerve with that one. Driving fucking tips.
Yeah.
That's what you got with Just the tips. What a great theme song. Guys, thank you so much. OnlyStupidAnswers.com, patreon.com/OnlyStupidAnswers. You know the drill. DJ Final Thought.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.